Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jansen Brooks, and you're listening to the Council of Elders call-in talk show. Thank everybody for calling in today. We have an exciting guest today, Mr. Edward L. Moore, who is a life coach from the Bay Area, and he's going to be telling us about the blueprint to get unstuck and follow through on your dreams or your life's aspirations. So again, thank everybody for calling in. Just a little bit about the Council of Elders concept. It's a simple concept of elders in the community wanting to share and give advice to younger members of the community so that they can improve their lives, whether it be through mentorship or classes or just one-on-one sessions with people so that they can learn from some of the elders' experience and not make some of the same mistakes that the elders made. So with that, let me just introduce our guest today. Our guest today is Edward L. Moore, and Edward is a life coach. And this is something that I've been excited about ever since I saw him on another YouTube program. I believe it was Michelle Hardy's program. And I said, I'd like to have this person on the Council of Elders show because life coaching is something that I don't think is really highlighted enough in our community. And I certainly wanted to give Edward a platform to talk about it. So, Edward, thank you for coming on the show today. Edward, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I want to first start off by saying thank you for an opportunity to come on the show. A little bit about me. I'm a San Francisco native, grew up here in the Bay Area. And early in my life, you know, when I hear titles like life coach, author, things like that associated with my name, it's surreal because coming from the background that I came up in, and my life's experience, if you would have looked at my life when I was younger, it wouldn't have seemed that I would be on this trajectory. And so, you know, I'm extremely grateful for what God has done in my life. But early in my life, you know, I was heavily involved in the streets. And so, you know, I tell people I'm a formerly incarcerated high school dropout that somehow stumbled his way into life coaching and helping other people, dedicating my life to helping the other people. But I went through a particular period in my life where I was about 24 years old, and I got incarcerated for something that I didn't do. But looking back in hindsight, it was God's way of rescuing me. They sent me the charges were serious. The charges were very serious, so they tried very hard to send me to prison. But by the grace of God, I got sent to a program with inside the county jail. And while I was in the program, I started hearing some information that resonated with me deeply. And I remember one day in particular, we were sitting in a particular class, and they said the statistics say that one out of three of you is going to make it. And so I looked to the guy to the left, man, I'm sorry for you. The guy to the right, I'm sorry for you. And I made up my mind that I was going to be the one that made it. And so I did so well in the program that when I got out, I got offered an internship. And then 6 months later, I was working in the same program. And so that started a career in social services. But anybody will tell you that has ever worked in social services as a frontline worker, you don't make a lot of money. And so about 3 or 4 years in, I had a come to Jesus moment. You know, one day I went to my room and cried like a baby because I couldn't provide for my children in the manner that I wanted to. And I looked in the mirror and I said, you know what, I don't know what you need to do, but you need to do something to transform your life because you live a mediocre at best. And at the time, I was working 2 jobs. I was actually about 5 years in. I was working 7 days a week for 5 years. And then that sent me down a trajectory of personal development. And ultimately, the things I learned from personal as well as spiritual development, I realized that God wanted me to be a tour guide to reach back and help other people. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 6 or 7 years.
Oh, that's excellent. Just by the way, what was the name of that program that you first started with?
Oh, it's called the Resolve to Stop the Violence Project.
Oh, okay, okay. That sounded like it's something that was very helpful and really got you on the right track.
Well, the most important thing and the beginning step to any kind of change is awareness. And so for the first time, I became aware of the things that I was doing and that not only the impact that I was having on other people, but the impact that I was having on myself. And it created a desire in me for some change, to want to do something different, because I was tired of impacting not only myself, but my children and my family with some of the decisions that I was making as a young man.
Right, right. So just a little bit of background as far as becoming a life coach. Is there like a certificate that you get or some study or training that you have?
Well, yeah, a lot of people just assign themselves the title of a life coach. But I have, I went through the life coaching certification program. It's about a 9-month program and got certified as a life coach through the ICF, the International Coaching Federation. It's one of the bigger, one of the two is biggest governing bodies. But in addition to that, I also invested in myself and trained with a master level coach, and I believe that's where I got majority of my skill set from.
Oh, okay, okay. So, Ed, would you give people the blueprint to get unstuck and follow through on their dreams? So, how can people eliminate excuses out of their lives so that they can follow through on their dreams?
That's a good question. That's a good question, because the first thing I want to say about excuses is what I have learned is that a lot of times the reasons and or excuses that people have for not taking action or following through are some valid things. But what I want people to understand is that whether you have a valid excuse for why you didn't do what you said you wanted to do or not, the end result is that you still didn't do it. And so once we become success-focused people, the goal is always the goal. The goal is to follow through and complete what we set out to do. And so whether you have a valid excuse or not, the most important thing is following through. I oftentimes tell people, if you can't go over it, go under it. If you can't go under it, go around it. But you have to find a way that no matter what to get it done. And so I have a 4-step method that how I teach people how to eliminate excuses in any area of their life. And I bet my check to a doorknob that if they follow these four steps, they'll be able to eliminate excuses in any area of their life. It's something that I affectionately refer to as the four A's. And so the first A, as we talk, you'll see I'm all about, as a speaker, as a coach, I'm very big on, there are a lot of speakers that tell that speak on the what and why. I'm more interested in speaking on the how, meaning that a lot of people will tell you what the problem is and why it's the problem, but don't necessarily give you the solution. And so this blueprint, this blueprint that I'm getting ready to give you, it also houses the solution. And so the four-step approach to eliminating excuses from your life in any area, number one, is called the four A's. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to acknowledge the areas that you've been making excuses. Like I just said a few minutes ago, the first step to change in any area of your life is awareness, right? You have to become aware of what's going wrong or the thing or areas for growth. That's a better way to say it. You have to be willing to acknowledge areas for growth. And sometimes that comes at the expense of saying, you know what? I am lazy. You know what? I do procrastinate. You know what? It's like really being honest with yourself. Because until you are able to be honest with yourself and acknowledge that there's an issue standing in between you and the things that you want out of life, you'll never change. The power to change will always be outside of you because it is circumstance or that circumstance or this person or I didn't have the resources. None of that is truly a barrier to you getting where you want to be. The barrier only exists in your mind. And so that takes me to my next point, which is the next A, is accountability. Accountability means despite having the resources, despite having the support, despite it means doing whatever is necessary to get where you desire to be. And I often tell people, you can send as many SOS signs as you want to. Nobody is coming to save you. And so if it's going to be, it is going to be up to me. And so accountability is about taking complete accountability for the outcome of your life. I like to tell people the saying that I learned about commitment. Commitment is doing what you said you were going to do long after the feeling you said it in is gone. And so accountability is just about taking complete and utter accountability for the outcome of your life. It's about doing whatever is necessary to get where you want to get. I'm going to pause there, and then I'll finish the last two to give you in case you want to ask any questions or make any comments.
Well, no, Edward, just keep going. You're on the road. I'm listening, and I hope everybody is listening. By the way, if you have a question or a comment for Edward, you can press the number 1 on your phone, and at the appropriate time, we'll let you ask a question or make a comment.
Okay. I just wanted to make the space.
Accountability.
Okay, so accountability is just about taking complete accountability for the outcome in your life, right? A lot of people blame a lot of other things, and like I said, sometimes they have valid reasons. But when you know, it's about becoming a result-oriented person. There is no gray area. It's either black or white. Once you get to the point, either I did it or I didn't do it, right? And if you want to be successful, it's about making sure you follow through. And so the next A is action, right? You got to get off the bench to life. So many people, you know, I use this analogy all the time. You remember when girls used to play double dutch?
Yeah.
Right? And so one of the things that they would do is when the two girls were turning, the girl that was getting ready to jump, she was waiting to jump in, right? You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's what a lot of people are doing with their lives. They're waiting to jump in. As my coach would say, they're getting ready to get ready, right? And they're not taking action. They're getting ready to get ready, they're sitting on the bench of life and they're not getting in the game. You know, the next thing that you got to do is you got to get in the game. You have to take action, right? You have to take action. And so, in the next question after this, I'm gonna break down the five phases of taking action and what that looks like. And the reason why I created an addendum to this methodology that I'm teaching you right now is because initially when I first started coaching, I realized that I was only showing people the initial stages of taking action. But you know, like I know, if we use working out as an analogy, there's more than the initial stages of action. Not only do you have the preparation stages or when you actually implement, but then you have additional stages such as consistency and some other stages. And so, you know, what I've learned to do is show people what to do at each phase of taking action or each phase of launching a vision. But before I get there, I want to go into the last A, which is adaptability. And adaptability is simply about resilience. It's not if, but when the trials or tribulations of life come to knock you off your square, those that are able to make the necessary adjustments and pivots are the ones that move forward. There were some people that I know that had a tragedy or a misfortune at some point in their life and got knocked out of their square and have remained there, right? And so the last A is about when those things come, because they're coming. As long as you're living, those things are coming. When those things come, how do you make the necessary adjustments and pivots to continue to be able to move forward? That's whether it's personally, that's whether it's professionally or in your business, right? How do you make the necessary adjustments to continue to move forward? And so if you do those four A's, number one, you acknowledge all the areas for growth, the areas where you need to change or the areas where you are not operating at your best, and you're honest with yourself about that. Again, self-awareness is the beginning of change. And then you take complete accountability for being where you want to be. And then you take some action, with planned action towards your goals. And then as you're on the road to success, you remain adaptable so that you can adjust to the challenges that come your way. You'll be able to successfully overcome any excuses that have held you back in the past.
Oh, okay, okay. I see we have a person who wants to ask a question or make a comment. That's 8473. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. Yes, good morning. Ron
good
Rogers,
morning.
Sacramento, California. And thank you, sir, for giving us these. There are four simple steps. And me being retired now, I see the value of those. And most of the time, as we're growing older, we slip into different habits. But again, I voice my gratitude for you for putting them together like you have.
Thank you.
And the main thing I think too is the fact that you have to focus on your plan. Like you said, when you go into action, it's not just running crazy doing everything. You have to plan, and, and the plan is most important to follow, and that's the reason I see you focus on the end result, but you have a plan to get there. You know, just not going. Me being an old salesman, that's the reason I say it was so easy for me, because once I fell into the the groove, if you will, of listening to people and saying the same thing over and over again. That's your pitch. And once you get that down, you're in a zone. And if you have that planned activity going on, as you say, the better you get, the better you're going to get. But also there's going to be some detours up there. There's going to be some adversity that comes on you. And that, again, is where I was strong.
Ron, we got us some other questioners, but we need to move on.
Okay.
Edward, if someone has a vision that they want to launch, what are the various phases that a person must be prepared for?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. I just wanted to take a moment to celebrate the brother Ryan and sharing what he shared. But in terms of launching a vision, there are actually five phases of launching a vision. And what happens is I have a group coaching program. I'm on my 10th cohort right now. So I've had an opportunity to see people at various phases of launching a vision. I've helped a lot of people launch a lot of different things, books, programs, businesses. And so I realized that you need to know what to do at each phase of launching a vision. And so there are five different phases of launching a vision. The first phase of launching a vision is the preparation or planning phase, right? You would be amazed at how many people do not have a concrete plan. You know, I ask people all the time, if we were going to hop in a car and drive to Atlanta tonight with no navigation, what's the likelihood of us getting there? And, you know, I was just talking to one of my one-on-one clients this particular week, and just sharing that revelation with her, you know, she kept a lot of information in her head. That is not a plan. When you don't have a structured, detailed plan, it leaves too much room for deviation. You get sidetracked, things that are less important. I tell people my plan informs my priorities. I know what to say yes or no to based on the plan that I have and the timeline that I have. I'm able to see clearly, as a result of the bigger picture, what I should be doing each and every day. You should never get up any day and don't know what you're doing. And so the first thing is to have a plan, to have a detailed plan. And I often tell people, it doesn't have to be an elaborate plan and some software. Most of my plans are initiated with a pad and a pen. I identify all of the particular steps that it's going to take to get to the end goal, and I put them in chronological order, and I start working the plan, right? And so the first step is planning. The next phase of launching a vision is the implementation phase, right? What are the steps that you're going to take to actually implement this? What are the tools that you use? And I have a masterclass where I teach people, in each one of these phases that I'm breaking down right now, I teach people exactly what to do in each one of these phases. And so the next phase is the implementation phase. But once you've implemented the plan and now you have this thing going, again, using working out as an analogy, I went and got the gym membership, I got the shoes, and I showed up for the first week, right? The next phase of launching the vision is the consistency. What do I need to do to make sure that I maintain consistency, right? That I'm able to show up, that I'm able to show up for my clients, that I'm able to market myself regularly and consistently. What do I need to do at those phases, all right? And then the next phase after consistency is about sustainability or long-term sustainability, right? What do I need to do to make sure that I'm here, right? Blockbuster. Circuit City, taxis, all thought they were going to be here for a long time. Those companies no longer exist. And so what are the things that I need to do to make sure that I have a sustainable company that will be able to navigate the challenges that are ahead and is able to make sure that I'm here for the long haul, not a fly-by-night thing, right? And so the last phase of launching a vision and or business is the scaling phase. Now that I've maintained sustainability, now that I've been consistent, how do I take this thing to the next level? And so I have some strategies that I teach folks, some general strategies. Of course, there will be some that are more specific to various types of business, but I have some general scaling strategies that I teach folks on how to take whatever it is that they're doing to the next level. So those are the five phases. So I call it the PICS methodology: planning, implementation, consistency, sustainability, and scaling.
Oh, okay, okay. And we hear a lot about scaling, particularly, you know, people in businesses. And when you say scaling, I've noted you mentioned just taking it to the next level. Or can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Taking it to the next level and or generating additional revenue.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, so that's what I mean about scaling.
Oh, okay, okay. I guess I would ask, how does a person get unstuck? And we might have touched on this before, but how do you help people get unstuck? No,
we haven't touched on that yet. So,
yes, how does,
you know, is with,
how does a person get unstuck? Or how do people get unstuck?
So everything happens in the mind. Everything happens in the mind. And what I have found is that most people have a tape playing in the back of their mind about who they are, what they're capable of, and how far they can go. Most of what keeps people stuck is the limiting beliefs that they have. Now, there is a study about some fleas in a jar. Right, so if you can imagine some fleas in a 3-inch mason jar, the fleas are capable of jumping 6 inches, but once put inside a mason jar that is 3 inches and they continuously get conditioned to jump 3 inches, when you open up the mason jar, how high do you think they're going to jump?
3 inches.
3 inches, but they're capable of jumping 6 inches.
Right.
That mason jar analogy represents a lot of people, right? The problem is in their thinking and in their self-image and how they see themselves. And unfortunately, well, I won't say unfortunately, even some of the best of us that are doing fairly well, say you make $10,000 a month, you might be capable of making $100,000 a month. Yeah, you're doing okay. You're doing okay, but your limiting beliefs are stopping you from getting to your full potential. And so there are some people that struggle with taking action, and that's also in alignment with how they see themselves, right? Fear and different things. So the process that I take a person through, especially when I'm doing one-on-one coaching, is most of those limiting beliefs are stored in their subconscious, in their subconscious mind. So you have your conscious mind, and then you have your subconscious mind, which is where a lot of limiting beliefs are housed. And so the image or the picture of yourself is based on things that you've experienced early in your life, trauma, you just develop a picture of yourself that I oftentimes help people realize that they're not even aware of, because the conscious thoughts that you have are the thoughts that you're aware of, right? But the unconscious thoughts that you have, a lot of times you're not even aware of. And so one of the exercises I do with people as I help them go in and identify and eliminate the limiting beliefs that have been holding them back is I ask them, what are the thoughts that you say to yourself about yourself that if somebody else said them to you, you would be ready to fight? And once we come up with that list, once we come up with that list, then we can do some work, right? I want to lose 40 pounds, but I'd really be happy losing 20. Oh, I got this business, but I'll never be a six-figure earner. Oh, I'm a six-figure earner. I don't think I'll ever get to seven figures. Whatever the thoughts that are coming up, those thoughts are limiting you from maximizing your full potential, because a man or a woman can never outperform their self-image. And so what I help people do is become aware of the limiting beliefs that are holding them back. We go in, I identify them, and then we excavate them, and then I help them rebuild their self-image to be in alignment with where they want to go. And then the last piece of the process is showing them how to actually manifest through faith and expectation. And so that's the three-step process. Without having a lot of time to go into it deeply, that's the part of the three-step process that I take people through when I'm coaching them to help them get to where they want to be.
Oh, okay, okay. Let me just say that any of our listeners, if you have a question for Edward, you can press the number one, and he can address your question. So, Edward, let's see. When you say, who do I need to become to have what I want? Or what does a person need to become in order to have what they want? What does a person
okay.
need to be? Before you answer that question, I have a caller here that has a question. Caller 7473, you're on the air for a question.
Good afternoon. This is Malcolm Hughes calling us out of Atlanta, Georgia. Edward, how do we get in contact with you? And how much does it cost for a coaching session? And could you tell us a little bit about the structure of your program as far as how many sessions and the cost
okay.
associated with it?
Okay. Well, we could talk about that offline. It depends on what a person wants. But my program is a 12-week program, and I've seen people get some amazing transformations in 12 weeks. I can be contacted at info@ edwardlmoore.com. My phone number is 510-878-4616. And what I'd be willing to do is we do a free consultation, a free initial session with you, to see if it may be a good fit, and then we can talk more about what the investment will look like. And I have a link. If you send me an email, once I get off this call, I could send you a link to schedule a time for the initial strategy session or clarity call, and then we can take it from there, and we can discuss in further detail. So there's a couple of ways that people that are interested can find out more about what I do. If you're interested in one-on-one coaching, you can take advantage of that opportunity for that introductory free call. But I also have a master class coming up on September 18th, where I'm going to be breaking down what to do in each of those five phases: planning, implementation, consistency, sustainability, and scaling. Exactly what you need to do at each one of those five stages. I have a master class that's coming up, and it'll be on the website within a couple of hours, edwardlmoore.com. You can go ahead and register. It's only a $27 investment, but the information is going to be life-changing.
Is that M-O-O-R-E? Is that a 1-0 or 2-0 and more?
2-0.
Okay.
2-0.
Thank you.
So if you send me, if you send me an email right now, I'll send you the link to my calendar, and then we can schedule that call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, what's your email again, Edward?
info@edwardlmoore.com. I-N-F-O at E-D-W-A-R-D, the letter L, M-O-O-R-E.com. Yeah, and that's where I can be located. I respond promptly. So if you send in an email, I'll send back, as soon as we get off this call, I'll send the link to connect when anybody interested in connecting.
All right. Thank you, caller. And then, Edward, the question I have for you is, who does a person need to become in order to have what they want in life? Who does a person need to become?
That's one of my favorite questions in the world. And the reason why this question is so important, this is part of actually the work that I do when I help people rebuild their self-image. This is a really important question, so I want to break it down in this kind of way. So we have been taught in error. We've been taught that once you do, then you become, and then you can have, right? Once I do all of this hard work, then I can become a millionaire, and then I can have the life that I want. We've been taught in error. We've been taught do, be, have. But how we really should have been taught, I need to be, then as by virtue of being, I do, and then I can have. Which means that you have to become the person before what you're looking for arrives. You have to be a wife before the husband comes. You can't wait for the money to come to feel abundant. You can't wait for the mate to come to feel love. You have to be the best version of yourself now, and so you have to ask yourself continuously the question, as you go about your day, what would the best version of me be doing? How would the best version of me be handling this situation? How would the best version of me show up? What would the millionaire version of me be doing? How would I go about this? What would I be? What would my presence be radiating? Because what people don't realize is that based on how you see yourself, you radiate something outward. And that thing that you radiate outward either attracts or repels. So there are some of you on this call right now that are waiting for opportunities that you are not on the same vibrational level with because you don't see yourself there. Should you shift how you see yourself and begin to walk in that, that thing that you are looking for will begin to be attracted to you. But because you don't see yourself as that, you are vibrating something that is not on the level with that which you desire. So a big part of that is how you see yourself, and as a result of how you see yourself, how you show up, and being conscientious of what you are radiating outward. I'll give you a real quick example before we move on. Imagine a young man wants to engage a young lady. He's out somewhere. Now imagine if he showed up to her with awkward energy, unsure of himself, not confident. She's much more likely to not be open to his advances versus somebody that showed up that is confident, that is self-assured, and believes in themselves. The outcome would be much different. And so that's a little bit about what I do or who a person needs to become. You need to become, if it's your goal to be anything, you need to become that before you it has to be internal. Things happen internally before they happen externally. Things happen externally as a result of what's going on internally. So that which you aspire to do, you have to become that before it actually shows up externally. And that's different for everybody based on what it is that they aspire to do.
Yeah, let me just interject there, Edward, if I will. That kind of reminds me of Mark 11:24, where Jesus says that whatever you pray for, you believe that you already received it. You get the feeling that you've already received it. And I find that's very helpful to me, to help me to grow and just see myself in a different light, because I see myself as already having the goal that I aspire to. And it's surprising the thoughts that come up the negative thoughts at first. And then you see how silly they are, you know. You see that they aren't as limiting as you might think. So anyway, I don't know if that really makes it.
No, it makes so it's a direct alignment with the conversation we're having today. And the reason why this conversation is so important is because when we are born and we are young, we look at possibilities as being limitless. And what ends up happening is somewhere in life, I mean, imagine a little kid, you can't tell them what they can be, right? That's the original image of how we were created to be. You know, there are truly limitless possibilities out there. But somewhere over a course of life, we get baggage piled on top of us, and it impacts our self-image and how we see ourselves and how far we think we can go and how much we think we can do. And what happens is that programming happens on a subconscious level. And so a lot of people try to address what's held them back on a conscious level. But the problem and the reason why they're not able to get past that is because the problem is not on a conscious level. It's on a subconscious level. And me, even as a certified life coach, I had to go and hire another coach to help me go under those levels and do the subconscious work, the same work that I help my clients with, because I'm not skillful enough to do that work myself. And so when you go in and you do the subconscious work and you rebuild your self-image, it will free you from the things that have been holding you back. And I would from this work that I've been doing, when I couple it with my spiritual studies and the ministry and everything else that I've been through, I came to a major revelation. And that revelation is one of our biggest jobs while here on this earth is, so let me put it this way. When I coach with people, it's not so much about making them a new person, but it's about pulling back the layers of all the BS that has gotten on them, all the junk that has gotten on them, so that they could see who they truly are. One of the biggest things that we will have to do in this lifetime, and it's unfortunate some people grow to the grave not doing it, is to get the junk removed off of us so that we can really see who we truly are, so that we can operate in our fullness.
Okay, let's see. I think we have a caller, 111139. Did you have a question for Edward? 1139?
Yes, I just came across your show, and I agree with everything you're saying. I actually stand in truth and light, and I dumb it down for a lot of people in the respect, especially related to Jesus Christ, because my whole life is like the poem Footprints in the Sand, and I resonate totally with Jesus. And when I let go and let God handle, I'm sorry?
Stephen Carl, would you please state your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, my first name is Hugh. I'm calling from Ashland, Virginia.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Okay, go ahead, Hugh.
And if I can share my full name, it might be inspirational, and I don't do email or texting, but you're welcome to come back to me. I'm looking to help coaches bring forth whole new paradigms globally based on spirituality and unconditional love.
Okay, Hugh, did you have a question for Edward?
Well, I'll put it this way, that in essence, I say we all incarnate to learn unconditional love. I wanted to see if he resonates with that. And as we learn it, we're supposed to be a blessing to others. And if we do that, it's actually a blessing back to us. And we are accountable when we go back into spirit for everything we do here. And the material goods have absolutely no use in the spiritual realm. So people really need to stop and think about what they're doing here before they have to face their creator. So I wanted to see what he might say about that.
Well, you know, the thing about it, man, is, you know, I lost about, at least 10 people that I know personally, including 3 family members in just the month of August. And so there's never been a time where folks, I don't know, I go on Facebook every day, and in the month of August, I've seen about 30 people that have passed away. And I firmly believe that, you know, the time is getting short. But even in that, to bring us back to topic of what we've been talking about is, you know, I was talking to one of my one-on-one clients this particular Thursday, and I was having the same conversation with her about, you know, rediscovering who you are. And I heard Dr. Miles Monroe say, the richest place in the world is the graveyard. There you have so many people that never actualized their dreams, books that were never written, albums that were never recorded. And I asked her to imagine getting to the end of her days, getting ready to transition into eternity, and never having been able to look at herself as she truly, see herself as she truly was. And as a result, never being able to accomplish what God created her to accomplish. And so to your point, I think it's very important that whenever your time does come, that you die empty, having done exactly what you were sent here to do.
Yes, that's a very, very valid point. Carla, did you have another question or comment?
Well, again, I would love to interact with either one of you. Want to hang on to my number if I can share my name. You'll see all my bizarre life experiences on the internet. I've had UFO, paranormal, near death with ongoing paranormal and very powerful documentable synchronicities. And I'm also a former whistleblower. It was written up in a Wall Street Journal article back in the 80s that triggered an investigation that eventually caused the resignation of Jim Wright from Speaker of the House in shame. I have no fear. And that's where, again, I tell people it's pretty simple when you really look at life, that we all came from spirit. Even an atheist can't deny that. We're going to go back into spirit, and we're here with two energies to work with. One is negative, the other is positive. We have free will to go either way, and there is karma attached to both. So again, it's really choosing, once you experience enough negativity, to go to the positive. That's the God energy. There's nothing more powerful, and when the heart alignment is correct, you'll see your way through anything, and that's where I stand in truth and light with all my life experiences. So again, that's up to you if you want to take my full name and see who I am.
Yeah, Hugh, I'm gonna give you a call, maybe have you on the show in a couple of weeks. And
do you want my full name now, or do you want to do it privately? It's up to you, because I've been a guest on numerous blog talk shows. And I just want to interject this too. There's a poem I authored that Maya Angelou commented on. You can hear a portion of an archive radio program where I spoke with her. And she's a beautiful example of someone who had a horrific beginning in her life. And I don't think she got coaching or psychological counseling. She did her own self-healing, I believe.
Okay. Okay. Well, Hugh, what I'll do is I'll give you a call and invite you to come on the show. You got an interesting perspective. Thanks a lot.
Well,
for
again, it's all based on personal choices, and it's better to choose the positive and the negative. And again, if you have the right kind of faith, you'll see your way through anything. So thank you very much for bringing me on. And prayer is very powerful. If people will do it in the right way, God will put the ego in check where it needs to be to stop all this chaos.
All right, Hugh. I'll be in touch. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, Edward. So, Edward, I understand that you are in the ministry as well, or?
I was in the ministry for some years. Definitely looking for a new ministry to become a part of. And so I'm searching for a home right now. But as you can mm-hmm. imagine, with the pandemic and stuff, it's been a little challenging to do so. But I recently reconnected with my old pastor. As a matter of fact, he sent me a text this morning, not only around ministry, but around some business stuff as well. And so, yeah, looks like we're going to reconnect, so I'm excited about that.
Right. So getting back to who does a person need to become, we got about 8 minutes or so left. Maybe you could touch on that a little bit more, Edward, and how you help people to discover who they need to become.
Well, again, one of the things that I do is you know, I have people identify what are the characteristics that you want for yourself. Who do you want to become? What does the best version of you look like? And without going too much into what I do with my, you know, with my one-on-one clients, I have them create an exhaustive list and an ideal image of what the best version of themselves look like. And then what we do is we strategically work towards that. You know, I have them conscientious of that. But a big part of that, too, to be perfectly honest with you, I have this process, and you have me give up on all my secrets and my stuff I work on with my clients, but it's okay. I have this process called defense and offense, right? So while you're working to becoming this new person, you're still faced with the challenges of who you were previously. And so a lot of time, you know, a lot of times the old you and the new you will be at war, but the old you has more ammo. And so I have this process that I teach people, which is defense and offense, right? The defensive mm-hmm. piece is blocking any thought that you do not wish to experience. The purpose for that is this: how things get in your subconscious is through the thoughts that you accept as true through your conscious mind. And so the thoughts that you accept as true through your conscious mind drop to your subconscious. And once they drop to your subconscious, what happens is when things drop in your subconscious, they end up becoming real, tangible things in a physical realm. I'll give you an example. If somebody is always talking about how broke they are always going to be broke, and it is going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. What people don't know is that so the subconscious mind does not have the ability to determine what is true and what is not. It simply goes off of whatever you accept as true. And once you accept it as true, the subconscious mind's responsibility is to then create that thing and make it a real tangible thing in your realm. So what people don't realize is that in the same way you can use your mind for lack and limitation, you can use your mind for abundance. But what generally happens is what stops people from being able to see abundance is when their self-image is off. And so when you help people get their self-image together, they can accept abundance. They can accept blessings on a subconscious level, and then those things begin to manifest. So with the defense and the offenses, I teach them how to block anything that they do not wish to experience, understanding that if you accept it as true, it'll drop to your subconscious, and then that thing becomes a real thing in your life. Your subconscious begins to take the order, the marching orders, and begins to execute that thing. That's the defensive piece. The offensive piece is literally using your mind to go into the future and to imagine the best case scenarios for yourself. And people say that's so hard to do. Okay, so if that's so hard to do, understand this. Well, my life has been this, my life has been that. What I help them realize is that fear and faith both require believing in the unseen. And so if you are going to use your mind, I heard Will Smith say this, your mind has to be the freest place in the world. Why would you use it for negativity? And so I teach people part of the manifestation process is being able to go into the future and imagine what you want and physically imagine yourself there, physically imagine what you would hear, what the environment would be like physically put yourself there, because the mind does not have the if you are present enough, the mind does not know the difference between what you are imaging or something really happening. And so when you do that, and then the second piece is when you get there, you connect to it on an emotional level. And so the purpose for that, as I talked about, you can only attract that which you are on the same vibrational level with. And so once you put yourself in that place and you connect to it emotionally, you raise your vibrational level to be able to attract the very thing that you want. And so that's part of what I do.
Right. Well, it would it gets back to for me what you just said, back to Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. So what you're saying, when you ask people to go into the future and imagine that they have the job that they want, or imagine that they live in the home that they want, or imagine that they have the type of relationships they want with their family, they can't really see how it's going to happen. So it's hard for sometimes for people to imagine that, because they're saying, how can I do it? But what you're saying is that the how doesn't matter so much as the willingness to accept it as true.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We have to operate in a place of certainty, expectation, and faith. What you don't realize is all of the things that I know how to do today, 6 years ago, I didn't know how to do any of those things. And what happens on this journey is, once you begin to start walking, you don't necessarily need to know how it's going to play out, what to do in each of these situations. You just do the next thing that you know to do. And as you begin to start walking, like, we all have an internal success mechanism inside of us. As you begin to start walking, see, the problem and the trick is that most people want to see the whole map laid out before they actually start taking action, and they allow themselves to stay frozen in procrastination. But once you start walking, the appropriate people, the appropriate resources, the know-how.
We got about 30 seconds left, and I want to make sure that people have your email. It's info@edwardlmoore.com, and your phone number is 510-878-4616. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Absolutely.
And we have an exciting guest next week, so don't forget to tune in.